Tonight we've got some great guests and we're going to be sharing some stories today, and I'm really excited to have Dean. I heard him speak before. Dean, you've built several businesses and you've got a lot to share today. I think that, you know, it's just going to inspire business people out there, or anyone who's thinking of building a business or struggling with something. So, and then I just had the pleasure of meeting
Brad
tonight, yeah. From you coach soccer teams. So, you know, so we've got a fantastic team here tonight, and you can follow us on social, of course. You just introduced yourself, Mario. You can follow us. What I was saying is, you can follow us on Instagram, you can follow us on LinkedIn, you can find us. You can find us, and you can find our guests, more importantly, so so that, you know, can touch base with them later on. And if you want to, you know, utilize their services or find out more about, you know, what they do, you can definitely follow them that way. So we'll get started, hey?
Yes, we can start it. So, Dean, as we agreed before you come on the show, you know what I mean? So did you leave the donation there on the table? Or who is Dean Williamson? Who are you?
Ooh. Good question.
Okay.
Who am I? I spent some time in India actually trying to work that out a few years ago. I trained to become a yoga teacher. It was a bit of a moment in my life when I recognized it was time for some change, and I wasn't making the progress, and I guess had a lot of challenges ahead of me. And I actually met a lady when my wife and I were over in the US, and yeah. I remember looking at it, meeting her, and thought, wow, you're so cool, calm and collected. What is it that you do? And she said, I'm a qualified yoga teacher. I said, oh, well, how did you actually come about? How did that come about? She said, I went to India and studied. I said, oh, where'd you go? And she gave me the card, and 4 months later, there I was in an ashram ready to go. And I spent a month locked up in an ashram away from my family and technology. Yep, no hot water.
No hot water, yes.
You didn't have the internet Wi-Fi phone.
There was none of the above, just me and myself and the big question of who am I, quite literally. So, yeah, I'm still working on the answer, but I learned a lot about myself in the process.
Look, I tried it once, you know, Wendy, she told me, try to do yoga, some Bikram yoga, it's hot and steam and everything else. And I tried to claim my private insurance, you know, health insurance. They told me I'm a little bit too old to do something. So good luck to you. Oh. So tell me, we know that you are a very successful man. You know, Wendy, she usually, before the guests come on a show, either Wendy or myself, you know, we represent who's going to be in our studio. But your success is not based on one company. So, you know, when I ask you, who is Dean? Do you need a glass of water or something?
I'm okay.
Are you allergic or something?
No, it's okay.
Jokes aside. But, you know, like you build your successful businesses across. How did you decide one day, did you wake up and say, like, Dean, now, you know, I mean, I'm going to run my business, I'm going to be a successful person?
From the start, I guess, when I was 10, I wanted what a lot of boys and girls where I grew up wanted, which was a motorbike. The only problem was that mum and dad weren't in a position to buy me a motorbike. Whether they couldn't afford it or they just didn't want me to have one because it was a bit unsafe, it wasn't on the card. So I went to work and saved up a whole bunch of cash. My first job was cleaning bricks on my father's building site when I was 10. I managed to save up about $618, I think it was, by the time I was 11, and that was enough to pay for half of my first bike, which is a little Honda XR100. And
nice.
I guess that was sort of really set the tone in my life of, if I wanted something, it meant hard work. But when I worked hard, then I was able to achieve whatever I wanted. And I guess it's sort of, we sort of took it from there, and having a few businesses through school, all of which have since failed and have burnt up and I guess and disappeared. But I learned a lot about having a go and really understanding, you know, how can I try and solve a customer's need, and how can I bring a team together to try and, you know, work together and ultimately deliver an outcome. So sort of after school, I gave university a crack for a year and I dropped out. I studied horticulture, so I really enjoyed
horticulture.
Yeah, horticulture. They actually offer horticulture at university.
Does that exist still?
Yeah,
sorry,
I'm just asking, it is a true story.
It's about the bottom, the lowest entry mark, but I learned a lot there and had a really valued my time there. But I realised after that it was time to, I guess, go and try something new. And then it was doing my apprenticeship in carpentry and joinery, and then starting our construction business.
How old are you when you started business?
10 years ago. That business, we were 23 when we started.
So yep. Let's do the little recap on on English. Did I say correctly, Emily?
Recap. Well, very good.
Let's go do a recap. So the interesting thing it is, Wendy and I had a lot of guests in studio, and everybody has their own story. No doubt, you know, we all human after all. But one common thing I realized with the successful people, you know, and I'm talking about myself or Brad or yourself, but it's a desire to create something, but school has been like a hindsight, actually. It's been like an obstacle, but then you have that how to say, you know, desire and you like in a spark. It's like, I'm going to start a business, but in a world we live in, I mean, you're expecting us to have the least PhD, and I mean, in horticulture or something like this. So how did you feel when you started your business, you know, I mean, without education, but desire, but you have the work experience with your father and everything? Yeah.
My approach has always been about understanding what it is that I was doing. So the point of going to do my apprenticeship was to really understand the fundamentals of construction. And previous to that, when I used to have my own nursery, I used to work in a nursery. So for me, it's never been about education, and that's extremely important in my journey. It's been understanding that the most elementary parts of how things go together. How do I deliver a service to my customer? And I'm personally obsessed with trying to delight my customer. There's nothing better than a customer that says, "Wow, that was a great experience." And very fortunate now to be surrounded by a group of men and women who have an equal passion for our customers. And I guess that's probably the common thread I've had through the business that I've been lucky enough to be associated with kicking off, is that we've always got this burning desire to give our customers something different, and not just fall to the wayside, or just accept that the way things have always been done is how they should be done. Yeah. And not just accept that, you know what, customer, everyone else is giving you a 7 out of 10, so we'll go for a 7.1. You know, our goal is to absolutely go for an 11 out of 10, and we don't get there often. We make a lot of mistakes along the way, but there's that burning desire to really get up and think differently and challenge ourselves.
So what I picked up was that you said that you had set up quite a lot of businesses along the way. So that's interesting to me, because I mean, most people, you know, try to build one business and stick at that for as long as they can. So what made you say, when do you go, that's not working, let's try something else? What made you go from one to the other?
I guess there's different reasons at different times, different stages of life and everything else, and probably in the more recent years there was a bit of, I guess, energy and I guess the time it takes sometimes to get something up and running. You've got to respect that it takes amount of time, and we sort of kicked off our property business, yeah, sort of a few years after starting the construction business, my wife and I, that is, and that was, I guess, born out of an opportunity that arose, and why would I sit around at the home on the weekend when I can be driving around looking at development sites? So that was sort of taking up the space that
did it confuse you?
Yeah, that did, actually. it doesn't take much.
I have a question just popping something in my head. When you start your business, right, you know, like one thing you say very, very interesting, that customer focus is very important, that you try to make a customer happy.
Absolutely.
You know, which reminds me of Wendy, because I learned quite things from Wendy. And she's a customer-based person. But on your journey from the beginning and creating your company and starting company and, you know, developing that business, tell me, but be honest, you know, I mean, is there any people around you who told you, don't do this, you're not capable to do this?
Absolutely.
On that part, if somebody says to you, then you will not be successful.
I think my experience has been having multiple businesses at this where we are at the moment, yeah, is probably not advisable by a lot, in the sense that it's hard to be able to focus on multiple things at once and do it well. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, as a result, in our early years, we've had a lot of customers that weren't delighted by our services. Yeah. If I'm being honest, you know, there was too much spread of focus, lack of focus, and if I'm being honest, it was too much chasing, I guess, this opportunity and this ideal that ultimately at times didn't eventuate. And it was only quite recently, as in a couple of years ago, that we had quite a major sort of event, I guess, as far as the property market doing what it's been doing, and it really sat me down, and I really had to stop and think, well, you know, I'm putting myself and our customers in a situation that isn't living up to the promise that I live by every day. Mm-hmm. And to actually come clean and admit that drive and determination is actually getting in the way of achieving the ultimate goal was a bit of an aha moment, I guess.
Yeah. So what do you do? Do you, you know, you learn from the fact that you've spread yourself and you've, you know, you've diversified, you've gone to like different businesses, and what do you say, pause that one or leverage yourself? What did you? How did you tackle that?
Yeah, I was very fortunate to bring some, I guess, some wise silver coloured hair into my world. And
you should, because we announced you're going to make everybody billionaire into today. So.
So bringing some experience in my world, and I guess most importantly, what I wasn't good at, being honest, was actually listening. So it's one thing to say, oh, let's go and talk to someone with some experience, but to actually take on that advice.
Give us more this about not listening. Why not listening? Yeah, why?
Because my ego's got the answer already. You know, I think I read the books. You know, I've got great mentors. You know, I travel around the world looking at how different people do things and experiencing different businesses. So who are you to give me advice? And that was the I guess the immature person within me that as I went by trying to make the best decisions, ultimately was often coming up short and not recognizing
and
that.
How did you correct this?
How did I? Well, going to India was a part of the journey.
Having come back on that India.
Yeah, no, it's all about India. Like, it doesn't solve all my problems.
Yes.
I think falling off my bike and scraping my knee was pretty serious as well. So we sort of had some pretty challenging times last year, where one of our businesses found ourselves into taking one of the a local government to court, which ultimately had a significant financial impact to our business, which cash flow wise almost forced us to close doors. However, we overcame that. We were actually successful in that case. But it's more to the point that, you know, we were able to overcome some pretty extenuating circumstances, which I guess I've chosen to learn from, which is a tough thing because that ultimately admits that I was wrong previously, which I've found as a person it's pretty hard to admit that you're wrong. But
definitely.
That's just what's happened.
Before we take the break, I'd just like to say something. I'd like to share actually with our listeners. I truly admire you for what you say right now. Mm. You know, most of people, like from my experience and my humble experience in my life, you know, yes, it was my birthday, so thank you for presents, guys. You know what I mean? Thank you for bringing nothing. Okay. That's okay. But what I try to say, most of people, when I discuss with the business people around and say like, okay, tell me from zero to one, you know what I mean? Because that's a most critical part of the journey in the business. Mm. We have the obstacles and we fail, but most of the people doesn't want to acknowledge and they don't want to share in public, like, you know, I mean, I have the setbacks, you know, I have the financial problems, everything else. For that one, I truly admire you. We'll take a short break, so don't go nowhere. Brian, don't look me that, you know, that. You listen to SWAT 999 FM Business Insights with Wendy and Mari. We'll take a short break and introduce a second guest. listening, Swati, from an FM business insights with Wayne and Mario. In our short break, we discuss it here with the Dean and the Brad, you know, new moves in yoga and why you should not do yoga. Well, maybe they are. But, you know, like everybody interested in yoga, it's a fresh on Business Insights Instagram story. We recorded in a break. But time to introduce a second guest, Wendy. Brad, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
No, you're welcome, man. So, like, you know, I mean, you're going to be grilled by Wendy. Don't look me. Wendy.
I'm talking to Wendy.
He does a lot of grilling, so I don't know what he's talking about. So tell us, Brad, what is it that you do at Ponds FC?
I coach the Premier League squad over there, so the first grade, reserve grade, under 20s over there with some great coaches with me as well. I'm on the committee there as well, and looking after the coaches on the committee and just making sure, you know, the club rolls through and can be the best that we can be.
So how did you end up there? Like, doing these roles, how did you, what led you to get there? Like, did you always,
I have a resume.
Now you give me the resume.
He said today, and I mean, I didn't even read it, you know, I mean, it's great.
I appreciate it. That's what a birthday cake is like.
Thank you for my birthday present. So, like, okay.
I played a bit, nothing too good. I was a bit of a... just a bit of a chopper and hacker and all that kind of stuff. Tried my best, which wasn't very good, but that's okay. End up doing a couple of knees, which is the normal football story. I'm a bit soft, to be honest, but that's okay. But I've been coaching.
I'm sure you're not.
Been coaching throughout high school, started in there, played for the Ponds beforehand, and then went into coaching. I took coaching pretty seriously after I done my knees and thought, I can't play, got to be involved, and how do I be involved and make the biggest impact to a side? And I thought that was coaching. So I took the first grade role on 3 years ago and been there ever since, and obviously done a fair bit of with a couple of other clubs, including Blacktown Spartans as well as the Wanderers. So, yeah, just ticking over now.
You're
and just
enjoying yourself?
Yeah, love it. I think we can have a real impact on the community in many different aspects, whether it be football, the results, community engagement, which we do a fair bit with our mini roos at the club, and which is fabulous, and we've got a really good playing group that gets around that. And then we do a lot of things with our sponsors for this year, and we've created another network of people that are sponsoring and, you know, backing the club and backing some decisions that, you know, we're making as well.
Is this a hobby for you, or is this something that you do day in, day out, or is it like, you know, I know that you also run a business as well, and so tell us a little bit.
It consumes a lot of time.
Who is Brad Attard? That's what we want to know.
Who's Brad Attard? A guy that tries Bikram yoga on a casual Tuesday night. And as Dean was telling me, not into it again. But obviously I work in the recruitment space. But then this is a hobby, but I absolutely love it. So definitely a lot of time invested into the football side. And it's a big part of me in terms of...
I ask you a question. This is your voluntary position, right?
You
volunteer there, right? You mean you're not paid for your time?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so how do you justify something doing not being paid?
It's interesting. I started doing it without a really clear goal in mind, and that's probably not the best advice to give, but we just kind of rolled on with it. And it's really funny, you can talk hindsight, and I think hindsight's the best science, but we won the premiership two or three weeks ago, and we had some photographers there, and it was great to be in the moment, but nothing really hit me about why we had a trophy, but it didn't. It was great to have it, and we worked hard all year, and that was a KPI, and that was the reward, and we just got a trophy. Okay, what does that mean? But there was four photos that rolled around after, a couple of days later, which photographers were floating about, and one of them was with our captain. His name's Taylor Hunter. He's a young kid that was at the pond that doesn't even play at the club yet. Had a Ponds jersey. Don't know how he got it, but anyway. Dressed in a gold and black hat, which we had this brand that we created. And he came on the field and he said, I want to take a photo with number 14. So his parents come over and said, oh, do you mind if we take a photo with him? And that meant nothing to the... It was just kind of like, why does he want to take a photo with a club Premier League player? Didn't make sense. But to that little kid, it was kind of like a superstar moment. The kid could have been, Taylor could have been David Beckham for all the little kid knew. There was that. We had, we created a brand at the Ponds and we've got a team song, which
is. So that's the sort of reward you have now, you know.
That's 100%.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. We got a brand there. Our team song's Ponds Having a Party, and we had people there with Ponds Having a Party on their shirt, and that was great. They had 60, 70 people sing the song at the end of the game. That was a photo. We had a young kid that come and support every single game, and he's a goalkeeper at the club, and it was really kind of touching and kind of made me step back, to be honest, when I looked at the footage back. We won in penalty shootouts, and his name's Preston, the young kid, been at every game, had his Ponds jersey on. His dad got angry at halftime, said, put a jumper on. He goes, no, I'm not covering the badge. Right after the game, we had a penalty shooter, Kevin Bush. He scored the match-winning penalty. He runs off to the sideline to celebrate with everyone that was, you know, invading the pitch. And you see Ronnie, who stands at the opposite side at the 18-yard box, and you see one person make a beeline straight to Ronnie. And it was this young kid, Preston, who Ronnie let him warm him up on grand final day. And you saw those, and there's a photo with him and Preston and Ronnie with the trophy at the end of the game. And it's moments where you step back and you think, yeah, that's why you do it. And that's why you invest so much time and you say, what, it's a volunteer, why would you do it? And those moments you can create something, and we've got something special there, so that's what I do.
Okay, I can see you're passionate like a Dean, but you tell me, you know, what was your biggest obstacles in your business or in your life?
Obstacle. There's a lot of obstacles. I think a lot of it's self-doubt. I'm a young guy, so I started coaching men's football at 22. So people think you're an idiot. People think that you don't know as much as what they know, and you just got to back yourself. So in terms of the coaching side, that's 100%. And that goes through life, in my opinion. You've got to back yourself, and you just got to trust your judgment. But yeah, that was definitely a barrier. Coaching women's football at the moment, we've got some fantastic players at Blacktown Spartans. We've got Matildas players that were training, Casey DeMont. We've got W League players such as Alex Roberts and Olivia Price, big name players, and you're there coaching them. And like I said, 25 coaching them, 26, and you know, it's self doubt is massive.
So how are you overcoming obstacles in the sense of, you know, I mean, like, you know, self doubts? How do you control this now, or what tips you can give to our listeners to overcome the...
Yeah, for me, I had a clear philosophy. So we got cornerstones at the Ponds, and we have four cornerstones at Blacktown Spartans that we've introduced, and that's mindset, discipline, professionalism, and hard work. So those are the four. And basically everything we do resembles those four cornerstones. And I think that... you know, they're really important to me, and there's a story behind why those four cornerstones are there. And for me, it was always checking back to say, okay, like, whatever I'm doing, am I working hard at it? Because you gain the respect out of it. Are you professional in whatever you're doing? Is your mindset right? Are you there for the right reasons? Are you going to, you know, be good for these players? Then you just got to back yourself. Then there's education that comes into it, and there's AFC courses that you've done and I've done, and you know, you just got to back your education and back, you know, your beliefs and your philosophies, in my opinion.
Dean, may I ask you a question? Do you have any philosophies you are sticking with? Any of your philosophies? Any cornerstones like Brad Attard mentioned?
Yep, yeah, I do. There's a few, I guess, we sort of live by. Curiosity is a big one.
Oh, geez, this is a new one. It's like a National Geographic now. Curiosity.
Curiosity. An openness and willingness to be wrong is my short film version of that.
Interesting.
Being passionate is a really big one, I guess, for me, which, like Brad, I guess, is not too hard to come by, but I think putting passion in what we do is really important, really caring about what we do. A big one for us is around honesty. Every relationship I have in life, and I'm sure everyone can relate, is based on a foundation of trust. Without that, you know, I don't know what we've got left. So honesty and is really important. And I guess the fourth one that really underpins the whole gamut is about being driven by excellence. I think there's a lot of heart and a lot of energy, but ultimately if we're not ultimately striving and delivering on a great outcome, whatever that may be, then I think, you know, they're sort of, it's not the whole picture covered off. So yeah, being driven by excellence is really important in my world.
Fantastic. I mean, just from your perspective and your coaching, and you're saying that, you know, you're the one who's struggling with your self-doubt and coaching these people that, you know, you're coaching older people than what you are. I think that's half the battle for a lot of people, and it's exactly what you said. It's what we tell ourselves, and that's so. How do you overcome that? You mentioned you do courses and you do other things, but you probably have to do more than that in order to be able to coach other people.
Yeah, of course, and I think that's why a mindset is a part of that cornerstone for me and the players. There's expectations for me as a coach, and there's expectations for the players, and you can look at this in terms of a business perspective as well, in terms of a boss or an employer, an employee, etc. So how I deal with it? There's education that's involved. So there's C license, B license, all that kind of stuff that educates you as a coach. There's a lot of things that I do outside that we've got a great guy, Will Bullock, who comes to all of our games, and we're just a club team. And he films all of our matches, puts all our highlights together, and we do tactical analysis on the other teams and all that kind of stuff. So.
Sorry. My mic. So you're spying on your competitors, that's what you're doing?
Yeah, of course. Of course. We've actually had a couple of other teams notice that we film and message us on the side and say, can we get a copy of the video? It's been a polite no. but it's that hard work aspect again. If I'm working hard enough to work out what, you know, the plan might be or the tactic might be, or if I'm working hard enough to know what drives a player and I'm in the right mindset, that I could potentially learn something off the player as well as the player can learn a little bit off me, and we're working together.
How do you deal with the attitudes? Like, you know, like I'm sure you get that in a team. You've got so many of them. Is it, you know, like obviously having a recruitment sort of place, sort of you pick out on the different personalities?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Deal with this one this way, that way.
Yeah, you definitely do some behavioural studies inside your head while you're talking to players.
I cannot stand to watch adults play soccer now, like, or football, you know, whichever right way to say it, because they just cannot hold their temperatures, you know. Just it ruins the game for other people that are watching.
Yeah, I completely agree. Look, one of the cornerstones is discipline, so
Don't you find it interesting that your cornerstones are different than Dean ones, because Dean ones is very creative ones. Very creative, like, you know, like everybody talks about discipline, temperance, justice, you know, there's no dieting. How do you dieting, you know? How are you keeping your mind? You know?
How am I dieting? Discipline, mate.
Nah, we take a short break. Let's
just triple line and fair, you know, I mean,
like, I can't, like, as soon as you start talking about yoga.
When I met you were so unique. You had a little thing I'd love to keep, and every movement carried much mystique. I knew right then I'd carry on to you. I knew my heart belongs. You know, you give me something, something that nobody else can give. And my heart started thumping. You know, now you're the one I truly know I did. Like the sunbeams from a perfect summer day. Heaven only seems a step away. When I'm with you, I just celebrate. I'm hoping my message gets through. There's never been someone like you. Turning out to be too
Back in studio, Swati from an FM Business Insights with Wendy and Mario.
We're back enjoying it tonight.
Yes, we are. And now, guests, look, in the meantime, in the break, I received a couple of questions. You know, I mean, they ask who is the golden boy, who is the world's richest guy in the corner doing the yoga, and the gentleman who is going to try to do yoga now. So, Wendy, as I say, I tried to do yoga and I was very unsuccessful.
Really, you did?
Because you can't have the mobile phone doing Instagram and everything else.
Oh my God.
Plus, you know, I mean, like,
not surprised.
And all this stretching and everything else, I was more angry than anything else, you know what I mean? But thank you, Dean, for the letting us know that you are the instructor of the yoga as well. And Brett, who is, you know, sneaking out of the house on Tuesday nights to do the yoga. So, Wendy, do you mind about yoga?
Well, I mean, Mario said he wanted to know about yoga. And
asking for the friend.
Got all the answers, I can assure you.
But I guess with what you're doing, you said, you know, you pulled yourself out to go out and do yoga. You know, what do you think, you know, from a business perspective, is that something that you just did personally, or you just said, I need to step out of business and do this?
Why did you go in India doing yoga?
My little journey, I recognized there was time for some serious change in my life. It was, I guess, a case of, you know, wanting to make change, but as the saying goes, if we continue to do the same things and expect a different outcome, then we're insane. So I guess it's, how do we break cycle when we've all got a routine of driving to work, driving home, kids, family, weekend activities? It's finding that those spaces in life. And I think that my experience of going and studying and learning something new about something I had no idea about really forced me to leave my comfort zone. And that's a curiosity piece coming in. And I think that in my experience, but by being curious and being uncomfortable, being so uncomfortable. I mean, I could tell a story about what happened over in India that I'm not sure if it's fit for air, but it was quite one of the most uncomfortable places I've ever been.
Okay, we can try to try to
clean it out.
Yeah, like, you know, try to choose the words, because I have no beep here. We can
sure. Make. So when I typifies the story. When I went over to the ashram, we dragged our bags after about a day and a half of travel to the middle of India. Dragged our bags into.
Sorry, what do you mean? Our day traveling in India. Did you land somewhere on the way by the plane, and then?
Yeah, but it was like multiple plane trips and then a bus trip, and oh, it was quite a remote location, literally in the middle of a field where there was no houses. Everyone lived in mud huts, quite literally. It was very remote, rural area. I sort of went to my sort of individual room, which was not far off, I guess, a cell. No hot water, as I said, very, very stark and quite intimidating in a sense. And looked around the room, and then we sort of all filed back down to the central room to sort of hear the instructions of how the routine, the discipline was going to unfold. You know, meditation starts at 5:30 a.m. every day for an hour and a half. Every day, and if you're not in class within 5 minutes of starting, then you're locked out, and then you don't come in. And there was a whole very disciplined. We even had 3 uniform changes throughout the day, so it was again some things you do in your casual clothes, other things you do in the uniform, and it was very regimented. We had to do community service every day, being a part of this thing. So we went through the instructions for how our time in this ashram would unfold. And at the end of the Q&A session, the induction session, there was one question that no one had asked, which I thought was the most obvious important question of all. So I put my hand up and said,
"Do you have Wi-Fi?"
I said, they'd already told us no to that. I said, "When will you be handing out the toilet paper?" So we were, it's a pretty obvious question. And the yogi Ram, who was running the session, facility, looked at me and said, "Dean, if you got poo on your face, would you wash it off or would you wipe it off?" Yeah. I looked at him, I said, "I'd wash it off." And he just looked at me. And I thought to myself, this is a really uncomfortable thing for me to be thinking about right now.
Yeah.
And in my life and in the way I've existed, that is not in line with my values. And of course, it is a perfectly okay way to live for many billions of people around the world. But I guess the point was that it challenged me. And I made a commitment to commit and to be part of the culture and a part of the whole thing. And
with
I guess
that will pick up your bags and head.
Well, sure. I mean, look, there's always
you need a day and a half to come to the deli. Let's just say.
They won't. You tell me how to pack
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you about a stunning hygiene routine. But I guess it was the point was it's taking ourselves way out of the comfort zone. And then, yeah. And the other thing I hear a lot is we talk about meditation, and one might say so you might be feeling listening, saying, "Oh, well, I'm too busy. I've got too much going on in my life to meditate. You know, it's how can I sit still?" And I guess you know it's pretty safe to say that I shared that view and sort of always on the go and running around. And my simple message is that if I could do it, you can do it too.
So tell me, this month and a half, you say, did
1 month? Yeah.
I'm sorry, 1 month. In that 1 month, how did you felt when you were leaving after 1 month being there?
I felt that I knew less about. I'd learned a lot, but I felt I knew less than what I thought I knew before. Sort of counterintuitive.
It's that's sort of interesting.
The world of we don't know what we don't know exists. We know what we know, and we know what we don't know, but we don't know what we don't know, and that grey matter expanded for me because I guess my what I thought I knew was less than maybe what there is.
And that's what makes a successful person.
Well,
being curious, so, and that made you more curious because I think
yeah.
you know we're stuck in our own little world. I can understand. You know, we all know. You know, coaching. You know, investigation, and you know, and then I think, well, if you're stuck in that little world, if you don't venture out of that, it's very small, isn't it?
Well, it's very large at the same time. If that's all you know, then it is the world. I mean, the world was flat. You know, all these things we've sort of uncovered in time, and it's just a matter of what drives you and what's
how interesting.
So, the yoga, it is good part or not? Would you recommend yoga to people do yoga?
Absolutely. If there's many forms of, I guess, fulfillment and time
I did
to
it
yourself.
When I was pregnant.
So,
it's fantastic when you're pregnant.
Yep, absolutely. So, I've never been pregnant.
I'm not pregnant. I just have a little bit of more weight. I mean, but Brad, may I ask you, Brad? You know, I mean that you are do you practicing yoga as well, or
no?
What do you mean, no way?
No. Was that supposed to say? No, I just
we just tried to make fun of you now.
So mate, I went once last night, and it was okay. With all due respect, I struggled. I really struggled.
I know that feeling, gay.
First,
you had my phone. Secondly, everybody's stretching there, and I mean,
what do they call the teacher? Not the teacher, what do they call the person?
The person who is a
who instructed. The yogi. I just thought that was a yogurt that you clicked over and put the chips in and start eating, but it wasn't. She goes, cross your legs, but sit up basically in something. And everyone just done it and just cross their legs.
Except
and I thought, I can't do this. I'm struggling here, and it's only bloody first second. And it was 84 degrees or something. Well, that's what it felt like, but yeah, sweating in places that I didn't even know I could sweat. But, the things you do to impress Mario.
Yeah, that's
the real truth comes out, isn't it? Yeah, it's always a girl. Yeah.
Well, that's a very impressive. We'll take one more break, and then we're going to start grilling our guests on the 60 seconds.
60 seconds.
60 seconds. Dean is ready, so you can read the answers on the menu paper. Read your mind.
Have I got you? Oh, no.
Ain't nothing in the world that can keep me from doing what I wanna do. Cause I'm too proud, I'm too strong,
Welcome back to the studio, SWAT 999 FM, Business Insights with Wendy and Mario. I know you're enjoying the show. I know all these thousands and thousands of listeners who is contacting us and listening our show are truly grateful on behalf of Wendy and I. Thank you for being the part of our show, our guest in the studio. Dean Willemsen and Brad Attard, you know, we have a few more minutes.
I wanted to take it back to business, Dean. I think it's been great having you. Thank you for coming along, and I know that you know, from what we've read about you, and obviously I heard your story before. You've been very successful in business, and you've shared with us before that, you know, you've worked through business and worked through businesses where you've shut down and started new ones. And I wanted to know, you know, what do you think most businesses struggle with these days? What do you think that they struggle with these days that, you know, there's, everyone says, you know, they don't make it past the 1 year, the 5 year, you know, what do you think that, you know, we're not getting right as a small business? Well,
so speaking from experience and something that I guess we continually to be challenged by multiple things, I think really understanding your customer is a real fundamental thing that ultimately, I mean, what is a business there to do? And if it's there to serve and delight, ultimately meet a customer need, recognizing our, and the fact that customers' wants and needs change, and they're not the same. You can't treat them all the same, just like we're not the same when we engage with a supplier, so, or with a business. So yeah, I think truly understanding what's important to your customer, and just constantly being willing and open to change with that customer is really a fundamental
element. Not stick by the rules all the time or something.
That's right. Yeah, there's ways around that. I think another one for us, which again is a constant opportunity for us that we're always working on, is really recognising that it's the best people that give the best customer experience and make the best culture to be a part of, and constantly supporting and nurturing our people, which again we by no means do we get that right, but there's a really an understanding and intention to try and better understand what's important to our people, because ultimately that is our business. There's not much more or much less than
your team, than the your people. Team you're
yeah, absolutely,
about?
Our team. Yep, yep. Okay. So putting them, front and center, and creating a system or an environment that's conducive to being a great place to work, which again is much easier said than done. Often, yeah. You know, in business, and my example is, we were pretty handy at being a tradesman, and then all of a sudden a company comes and says, well, come do some more work for us, and the next thing you know, you employ people, then you get to employ more people, and then you're running a business, and you've got to work out how do you actually not only do your job but actually manage people and manage the finances and all the rest that comes with it. So the finding and retaining the best people, something that Brad does a lot with, been a key unlocker to our ability to grow, and one that we're still working on getting right in the long run. So
what would you say to young 10 years old Dean now from this perspective? Imagine meeting yourself at 10 years old and say, like, what would you tell that little Dean? What would best advice say, apart to be on a show with Wayne and Mario?
Yeah, yeah.
10 years' time.
Yeah. Down on the list. Or 20 years' time, yeah. Yeah. What would the advice be? Look, I think it's, yeah, hang in there. I think resilience, I sort of reflect on what it means to be lucky, yeah. And I think resilience has a lot to do with it, and yeah. In a way, maybe luck is a product of resilience. So if you're around for long enough and got the right values, then luck comes your way. So I think resilience is a really, really important part, and something that I guess it's definitely been a bit of a feature in my sort of time so far, and something that a lot of our team definitely live and breathe by.
Thank you for sharing with us. I truly appreciate it, because yeah. Resilience, nobody actually doesn't see this as a quality, you know what I mean? Actually, yeah. What was the latest book you're reading?
I'm reading a book at the moment called Thinking Fast and Slow by a gentleman by the name of Daniel, and I'm going to forget his surname. He actually won the Nobel Prize for Economics in 2002. Thinking Fast and Slow is what it's titled, and it's a fascinating look, which is a sort of bit beyond my level of comprehension, but I'm giving it a go anyway, that talks through the way our brain operates. We sort of have a system one and a system two, which is the subconscious and the conscious brain, or the rational and I guess the point is that we often think we're making a conscious decision, but often it's our subconscious that's feeding into that without
awareness.
Without us even realizing it. So I guess it's quite a challenging
book. Trying to be aware of it. Yeah, definitely. Wow. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me. And if you think, you solve those problems for people in your business, but actually you've got two businesses that, or three.
Three,
right?
Three.
And so, how do you then go? Okay, how do you split your time between those?
Yep, I'm very fortunate to have a very, very capable and senior management team, which includes, I guess our CEO, who's got, literally 30 years more experience than I do. So he oversees and supports our general managers.
The three businesses?
In two of our businesses, okay. Yep. And then I get to focus on one of our other businesses.
Okay.
So it's very much having a very capable.
So you get sleep at night?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, that's important, yeah.
That's very interesting, I mean, because most of the people are considering running business, to the debt, I know everything. But again... my hat down to saying these things, that you hire somebody who is senior in knowledge, experience than you are to help in the business side. But like us to Brad now, Brad, what would you say to little Brad when 10 years old?
What would I say to little Brad?
What would I say to little Brad? What would be best advice from your point of view right now? We know you're 57 years old now, but that's okay.
Yeah, you caught me off guard there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually don't know, mate.
No?
No. I'm actually stumped, mate.
No?
I don't know what I'd say. Say, g'day, champ.
Go,
how
champ.
You going?
Yeah. Would you build a business your way you're building now?
Yeah. Of course. I think it's a gut feel. I don't know advice that I would... Yeah, no, Mario, I actually don't know. I don't know the advice that I'd give.
What would you give advice to people who build a business now and they're stuck? Dean was kind enough to say, stick their resilience.
Resilience is a big one. You've got to back yourself and believe in yourself, because the haters are going to hate. There's going to be plenty of knives in your back wherever you go.
How much is the important support of the people around you for that resilience?
Dramatically. Dramatically important, in my opinion. You've got to support.
Yeah,
they have to support you. So they're there to tell you when everything's going to be okay, when it's not.
When you come on the field with your club pawns, and there are all these younglings come to you, and you look like a Harry Potter there, that you're a magician, and it comes to you. So like, listen, how they have their little problems, so they're fighting between each other and everything else. How do you apply your skills?
The advice you give to those guys, and I say it to my players as well, is I've got a bit of a theory that hard work will equal reward, and it's always might not be the reward that you desire for, but it's going to be a reward in some way, shape or form, whether you're closer to the step or you achieve what you need to achieve straight away. But yeah, I suppose with all those little ones, hard work equals reward. Keep that in the top of your mind. And like you said, you create your own luck, in my opinion.
Oh, thank you for that one. Wendy, we have 4 minutes. Now it's a grilling time. Dean, you ready?
Okay. Oh, I've never been ready.
I'll leave it in very capable hands for Wendy. We're going to laugh.
So basically, we've got 60 seconds, right? You've got 60 seconds, and I'm going to time it. And we're going to ask you questions and put you on the hot seat. It's not really that hot. It's cold in here.
It's fresh. <yeah. laughs>
So, yeah, I'll put my timer on and then it'll buzz. Okay, so basically, what's your favourite pizza topping?
Barbecue meat lovers, thanks to my kids.
Yeah, I know, they go that way, don't they? What's the best advice you've ever been given?
Be nice to your wife.
Oh, nice.
I think she's listening, so. if only I followed it.
How have you ever driven?
Ooh, Porsche 911 GT3 Cup car.
Oh,
yes.
Ooh, nice. Okay, if you favourite colour?
Orange.
Bucket list place to travel to?
I'm going to say pyramids.
Oh, nice.
Egypt, yep.
Yeah, and your last $10, what would you spend it on?
On Mario present for please.
probably some water, I guess. Yeah.
Nice.
Hierarchy of needs, you gotta go there.
Thank you for coming. 60 seconds are up.
Okay, we have 1 more minute, so now Brad, is your time.
Here we go.
How often you can be with our social media?
How often?
Yeah.
3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay. Yoga or soccer?
Hot yoga or normal yoga?
Okay, did you ever miss a school?
Did I ever miss school?
Yeah.
No. Did I miss school? I actually got one of those awards that you like never miss a day of school. I know.
I've done it.
Listen, I'm already copying it enough. I'm copying it from our premise.
So, look, really thank you on behalf of the SWAT People 9 FM, business Sven and Mario.
Yeah,
for being
thank
our
you
guest.
Very much. Appreciate your time, guys. It was lots of fun. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all your insights.
Thank you.